The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Irish Racing Preview with myself, Dave Kellner, here in the studio, and our Irish racing expert Andy Holding on the line to look ahead to the Irish racing action on Saturday the 27th of December. And what a cracking day's racing it is, with the meeting at Leopardstown featuring two Grade 1 contests. And right now I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Andy Holding. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Dave. Delighted to be here as well. Always a pleasure.
I tell you what, it's some days racing. It's an absolutely fantastic day's racing at Leopardstown. Two Grade 1s, and we'll get straight stuck in with the 12:20, the first race on the card. It's a three-year-old maiden hurdle, and Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh will be expecting to dominate this meeting, and they start off with a decent chance here, Andy.
They do, yeah. Business Savola's the horse in question, who's just had the one run for New Connections, and although it was a defeat, and a painful defeat, that those took a short price, there's still plenty to like about the way this gelding went about his work. He looked all over the winner, to be honest, that particular afternoon. He jumped well from the front. That was the feature of his round, and never really looked like he was going to get beat, but he did in the end by Prussian Eagle, who has been a real good servant for Charles O'Brien during the summer months. But it was a bit of a shock all the same to see that horse victorious on the day. He probably just won on account of his previous experience and fitness over hurdles, whereas the Mullins horse just came up a bit short. But they were well clear of the rest, 18 lengths back to the third, Lady Clitico. And we get a chance to see how good that form is, because both Prussian Eagle and Officier, they both strut their stuff on Boxing Day as we speak this afternoon. So obviously that form might take a hit or a boost either way prior to this horse running tomorrow. The other one to keep an eye on as well from the unraced category is a horse called Hostile Fire, gelded by Ifraj, now in the care of Gordon Elliott. This horse had a fair summer on the level in England with Ed de Giles, running a whole series of good races when he rattled off a quick hat-trick right in the middle of July. He's formed rather tailed off towards the back end, but he's still a useful horse in the making. He could be quite useful over hurdles if he takes to the winter game. But I'd expect Business Savola to put this lot to the sword. He looked good for 9/10 of that race at Garran until just getting a bit tired late on. And, of course, we know that William Mullins has got plenty of firepower in the juvenile division, because he's got the Triumph Hurdle favourite strutting his stuff this afternoon as well. So Business Savola should get favourite backers off to a good start.
Superb. A Business Savola, the selection for Andy in the opener. Let's have a look at the 12:50, Andy. This is the maiden hurdle, and we get to see Silver Concord in action here. Last year's champion bumper winner has had a pipe opener on the flat as well, Andy, maybe to put the horse spot on for this.
Yeah, that's the theory, isn't it? A decent win at Navan the other day. He beat a horse called Right Down the Middle, who's a useful horse in his own right. He was expected to win, as his odds suggested, at 2-5, and he got the job done quite nicely. Although I did actually notice one or two rather troublesome traits with him in the latter stage, which might be worth bearing in mind from a long-term perspective. And that is, he flashed his tail when he was under pressure late on. I don't think he's ever done that before. He certainly didn't do that when he was winning his bumpers, and of course the championship bumper at the Cheltenham Festa when he beat Shane Tilling, what was probably one of the most memorable bumpers run in the last few seasons. Of course, we've seen the winner Shane Till go on to glory already over hurdles this season. Value at Risk, who's now in the care of Dan Skelton, he was back in third. He bolted up the other day in Newbury. Jolly Allen, who was six, he's won. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. Black Hercules, it was just a tremendous race at both that channel, and indeed most of those that took part in that race at Punchestown subsequently. So I think the bumper horses from last year were very good. Silver Concord was the pick of them, and he's very much expected to make a winning hurdle debut tomorrow. There doesn't appear to be too many in the way of obvious opponents, certainly of any class anyway. Call Me PJ would probably be the pick of them, but providing he jumps a clear round, Silver Concord should take this comfortably. Just look for that flashing of the tail. I'm definitely keeping my eye on that as the season goes on.
Silver Concord, the pick in the maiden hurdle then, the 1250. First of the grade ones comes up at 120. This is the Paddy Power Dial-A-Bet Chase over 2 miles and a furlong. And I'm looking forward to seeing Uxie Zondra out here, Andy. Very impressive with his jumping last time at Cheltenham. And that form has been boosted subsequently as well.
It has, yeah. He's a tremendous horse on his day, Uxie Zondra. We saw on more than one or two occasions last year. The feature of him is, as you say, he's jumping. And that was seen to good effect last time out at Cheltenham when he beat Simply Ned and the subsequent Tingle Creek hero dodging bullets. As you quite rightly pointed out, that is probably the best form on offer. 2 miles now a day seems to suit him. They've tried him obviously over further. Hasn't quite worked out. A good attacking ride from the front is the way this horse likes to go. And you couldn't ask for any better jockey to get the best out of him. AP McCoy, of course, is teamed up with this horse again. He's actually got a fantastic record on this horse. He's unbeaten in 3 starts, Tony McCoy. So bear that in mind as well. He's going to be favourite. But I quite like Ballycasey here against him. Certainly, not disrespect Uxie Zondra here, but I do like Ballycasey. He's got some good form here at Leopardstown. He's 2 for 2 at the track. And we saw him when he won here last year. Only a 3-runner race, but he did beat Don Cossack, who's gone on to be a very good horse this season. As we know, he's unbeaten so far this season. And also Carlingford Lock as well was in that race. He was beaten when he unseated right at the last. And, of course, that horse is a Grade 1 winner as well. So he's certainly beaten a couple of decent horses on the day, Ballycasey. He then went to Cheltenham, and as I thought, he didn't get the trip. He's always looked as though he's a horse with plenty of speed rather than stamina. They've just had one run with him this season. It came at Gowran Park, and he couldn't have won or jumped or been any more impressive when beaten Follow Me Up to Carlo, Moscamano and Maloney. 3 useful horses in their own right. But the way he did it suggests he's going to have a really good season. And I think dropping back to 2-mile-1, around a track where he's got a good record, should see Ballycasey put it up to the favourite.
Superb, thank you, Andy. Ballycasey the pick in the 120. Moving on to the 150, which is the future champions novices hurdle over 2 miles. And Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh teaming up here with Nichols Canyon, who's 2 from 2 so far, but does face a stiff competition here, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, this should really be another victory here for Nichols Canyon, despite one or two horses in the race obviously having plenty of quality about them. But I do like the way this horse is going about his work. He's almost been a bit of an unsung hero so far, even though he's had 2 runs over hurdles and both of them are victorious. He's been workmanlike rather than flashy, and I think that's always going to probably stand him in good stead, because he's going to go into many of the big races towards the back end of the season rather under the radar when other flashier, more sexy horses come to the fore. And he's just the kind of horse I like to back when perhaps he's underestimated. But you shouldn't do, really, because he's already a winner of a Grade 1, albeit not a particularly strong Grade 1. He won the Royal Bond at Fairy House last time we saw him, grinding it out. One of the others around him had been beaten off. Of course, it was the race that was notable for Stabber Companion, Alice Colombares, unfortunately, suffering a fatal injury, which is a shame to Connections. But Willie Mullins' charge was there to take full advantage of that. He beat a horse called All Hell Let Loose, of course, runs, as I'm speaking this afternoon, at Limerick. So if he wins, then obviously the form is boosted. And either way, I do expect Nicholas Canyon to uphold that form anyway. Sizing John would probably be the pick of the rest. He was second last time out to Duvan, another horse in the care of Willie Mullins, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. But Nicholas Canyon should be odds on. I think it could well be another winner for Willie Mullins.
Nicholas Canyon, the selection in the 150. The 220 is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got Ted Veal in action here. A performer who has been splitting his time between the flat and the jumps, and Buster Tycoon, who's an interesting contender here for Tony Martin.
Yeah, there's lots of horses here that catch the eye, including those two horses you mentioned, particularly Buster Tycoon, who hasn't been seen out since rattling off a hat-trick and hasn't been on the track for 5 and 10 days. The weights are kept down by Ted Veal, so that might be a significant factor. Perhaps Tony Martin fancies his chances with his mare by Marjou. But there's one standout horse in this race, and my regular podcasters will know the affection I hold Rock the World in, a horse that landed the nap for the podcasters back on the 7th of December. That was at Punchestown when he beat a sizing network very, very easily. But he did it in a really good time, and even though it was a small field, and the clock said that race was good. He also ran in a good speed figure race the time before at Navan in a race which is working out really well, Free Expression. The winner that day, he looks a top-class prospect in the making. And back and forth, there's a horse called Corto Grand Mogul, who bolted up the other day in a small race at Thurles, once again landing a bit of a touch for the podcaster. So I'm mad keen on that form. Rock the World was involved in that race at Navan in a Grade 2. And on the evidence of what we saw last time out, his mark of 133, his revised mark at that, doesn't look too severe. He's a quality horse. The ground should be absolutely ideal. It's only on the yielding side at Leopardstown. He's got a good action, and he's got some decent form as well in the past around the track. So Rock the World. I'm not sure what price he'll be, but if we can get a reasonable price about him around, say, the 7 or 8 to 1 mark, he'd represent good each way value in that competitive-looking 2-mile handicap.
Superb. Rock the World in the 220, that handicap hurdle. Feature race next. Feature race of the afternoon at Leopardstown. It's the 255, the Paddy Power Chase, worth €106,000 to the winner. And we'll have a full field here, Andy. First of all, how do you approach tackling a race like this?
I usually like playing a couple against the field, Dave, usually. I like to spread my bets around because I think you need more than one or two on your side in a race like this. But I do think, Dave, to be perfectly honest, the class will rise to the top here. I didn't think it was the most deepest Paddy Power chase I think I've ever seen for a Class B handicap. And I thought the ones at the top were the ones to concentrate on. I know there's been a lot of money anti-post for Fox Rock. He races in the first time tongue tie. He got beat last time out when having every chance at Punchestown. He got beat by a horse. I think he's definitely going in the right direction. And even though he's got a £7 penalty for that victory, I expect Grand Gesture, the aforementioned Grand Gesture, to come out on top here. I do like the way this horse went about his work when he won at Punchestown that day. He won with his ears pricked. He certainly suggested there was plenty left under the bonnet in future races. And I do like the way that, that Johnny Burke gets on with this horse as well. He seems to know him really well. So Grand Gesture would be the number one choice. And the other one I'd quite like as well is My Murphy, a horse that looked as though it needed the run the other day in the Troy Town Chase, another race which has been a good form guide to the Paddy Power Chase over recent years. Even though he finished behind the likes of Balbriggan, Owiga Star and Groody Hill, of course, he reposes with the latter name pair. I still thought he shaped like probably one of the best horses in the race until getting tired late on. That was his first run of the season. That should have blown away the cobwebs. And this horse, of course, has got plenty of good form at Leopardstown, including a fourth in a Grade 1 last year behind Carlingford Lock. He could also be quite well handicapped off a mark of 141. So two against the field, two towards the top of the weights. Grand Gesture being the number one pick, but I'd definitely have to have a saver on My Murphy.
Grand Gesture and My Murphy in the 255. And we finish off with the bumper over 2.5 miles, the 330. And difficult to find an angle in here, Andy. I suppose Nickname Exit, who has had one start point to pointing at Kirkistown, is likely to go off as the market leader, but the market will be informative here.
Yeah, it will be. Difficult to make a concrete assessment the day before, but the selection would have to be Nickname Exit at this time of discussion. He comes out of Willie Mullins' stable tour with a very favourable reading. That's one of the reasons why I think he could be useful. I also made a note of several of those horses that he mentioned. That was back in the early part of November, and there's been quite a few that he ticked off that day which have justified him including those in that illustrious list. On Courts de Tours being one, Live, Love, Laugh, Pile on the Pressure, Bordini. Those are the horses in the early fledgling stages of their career that he wanted to mention and give the readers a bit of an upside into. And he's also mentioned this Nickname Exit as well. There's only a chosen few, a very handful, that made that list. So he's probably obviously picking or cherry-picking the very best. And Nickname Exit made it onto that list. Obviously, as you mentioned, second in a point-to-point. He's also out of a horse called Nickname, as his name suggests, who was a very strong stayer in the past. He was a good enough horse to, of course, take his place in the Gold Cup many years ago and in the late 80s, early 90s. So stamina is definitely going to be this horse's forte. And obviously this looks a good starting point for him tomorrow. 2.5 mile bump, he don't get too many of those, so he's obviously looking with regard stamina towards a Nickname Exit. And he'd have to be the selection at this early stage, but it could well be another one for Willie Mullins on what could be a very good day for him.
Yes, it is well worth noting that we are recording this on Boxing Day for the action on the 27th. Andy usually does the podcast on the day of the racing action. Andy, what's your best bet then?
My best bet on the day? Well, I wouldn't go down the short price route. That wouldn't be my style. I suggest we have a few quid on Rock the World at the prices. I'm hopeful. I've got the tissue in front of me here. We've been chalked up around about 7 to 1. If we can get in and around that price come Saturday morning, I suggest the podcasters have a decent bet each way on him.
And remiss of me not to ask you how your Christmas was at the top of the podcast, Andy.
It was very good, Dave, yeah. Santa gave me all that I ever wished for. All I need now is a nice few winners, and I'll put the icing on the cake.
Thank you, Andy. We'll speak again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.